This being family service, I like to take a break from our typical study through the book of John and try to focus in on something a little family related. And so, as we open up here to Matthew chapter 18, I want to ask a question right at the onset. And I'm going to do something undignified for a preacher. I'm going to take my jacket off because I am roasting. That should be a hint to some people to turn that heat down. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord. There's some people that you can look out in the crowd and when their jackets start coming off, it's like, yeah, it's okay. We can turn it down now. I want to ask something right at the onset. I want to invite you to take a piece of paper and a pen, and I want you to write down the name of a person. That person's name is the name of someone that you would ask to pray for you. If you found yourself in a problem, in a situation, you found yourself struggling with maybe an illness or some other kind of an issue that has maybe hit your family. Thank you, son. The question is, who would you call? Who is that person that you would say, you know what, I'm facing this battle, be it physical, emotional, mental, whatever it may be. And you would write down the name of that person that you would call, that first name that would come to your mind that you would want to pick up the phone and say, hey, I need you to pray for me. Now, as you kind of write that thing, that name down, I want you to be serious about it, and I want you to focus in on it and think for just a moment why maybe you would have written that person's name down. Let's take a look here at some of our names, and I don't necessarily want to call people out, but I want to have a little bit of fun this morning. How many of you maybe wrote down the name of some older Christian man or woman that you know, and that you know them as a prayer warrior? Perhaps you've seen them through their life. How many of you maybe would have written that name down? How many of you wrote possibly the name of a spouse? Maybe it was a spouse's name, and you thought to yourself, I know who I would have pray for me. Now, how many of you wrote down the name of a family member, perhaps? How many of you maybe wrote down the name of a Sunday school teacher or another church leader, perhaps even a preacher that you know? How many of you wrote down the name of a child? Now, before anybody starts going down the road and be like, I'm more spiritual than you are, preacher, I wrote, oh, you did not. You didn't either. I was thinking about this past week as I was going through some of my personal studies, and I found myself asking an interesting question that we're going to read here in the book of Matthew. I want you to start with me, book of Matthew, chapter number 18. Stand with me, if you would, as we read. Stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew, chapter number 18. Look at verse 1 with me. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Don't miss that statement. Don't let your eyes just read past without pausing for a minute to reflect on that. This is one of those, as the psalmist would say, Selah. Just pause and think about that. Verse 3 again, and he said unto them, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them in from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Let's pause for just a minute and ask God's wisdom as we get into his word this morning. Father God, we are grateful, Lord, to be in your house. And Father, as we come together, Lord, we are looking to praise you. We are looking to worship you. But Father, we also need to be examining, are we hindering worship? Are we hindering praise? And so, Father God, what we ask, Lord, is that today would be one of those days where we uninhibitedly worship you. And Father, we do not stop anyone else from worshiping. But Father, we encourage it. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would watch over this service. God, hide me behind your cross. Father, speak to me that I may be able to speak as the oracles of God. And Father, that these dear people would be pointed toward you, encouraged to seek your face. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, we kind of took that poll and the question came, did anyone write down a child's name? And that's not exactly the first name that comes to mind when we're thinking of a prayer warrior, is it? That's not exactly what we think about at the very start. It's funny how so often we think that adults are where it's at. We think that we adults, we've got it all under control. We've got it all figured out. And those poor little kids got to catch up to us, right? You know, we say things like, we tell the kids so often, don't touch that, leave that alone, you need to be quiet, don't, you know. And that's kind of sometimes the life of a kid, is it not? You know, we used to joke and we'd tease our kids as they were growing, and you know, when they're kids, you know, what does the cow say? Moo. What does the sheep say? Bah. What does the mommy say? No, no, no. You know, we have fun with that kind of stuff, don't we? But at the end of the day, if you really think about it, I checked myself one time. I started going through my mind what all I had said to my children that day. And I just kind of started replaying, and I purposefully thought through the whole day. And I'll have to be honest with you, as a parent, sometimes we can be downright negative and nasty. And then we expect our children to grow up to be good and kind. We walk into the room and we say things like, why is it so loud in here? Only to realize that's why it's so loud in here. Why do you yell all the time? Well, because you do, Dad. You know, they won't communicate it that way. At least they better not. But I know what went through my mind as a child. You know, why is it okay for you, but it ain't okay for me? You know, I teach my kids to listen. I try to teach them to learn, ask questions. You know, sometimes these kids, they just want their voice to be heard too, and that's understandable. But many of us do not know how to simply ask questions. Have you ever noticed that? A lot of us, we just don't know. We know how to tell people things. We know how to tell people what's right and what's wrong. We know how to tell people what to do. We know how to, but we don't know how to ask questions. Just think about the last time you got on to your kids about something, or maybe you got on to anybody about something. Maybe it was an employee, and you started to get into them, and you started to tell them what they did wrong. Have you ever thought maybe we could have gotten a whole lot farther if we simply asked, well, why did you do this? Why did you act that way? Why did you respond to me? Why did you talk to me that way? Why did you steal that car? I don't know. Whatever it may be, perhaps we need to start to dig a little bit deeper and ask some questions. We parents tend to forget that kids can reveal some things too, you know. And Jesus used an example of kids here in his sermon, and as he's going on, and these disciples are asking, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I'm sure they were expecting to hear some great spiritual thing. Oh, the person who gives the most money, or the person who teaches the most classes, or the person who's, you know, the preachers, and I'm sure they were expecting to hear something like that. And what's he do? He grabs a kid, he puts him in the middle of him, he says, right there. All of us pious gas bags were like, huh, I don't think they're the greatest. It has to be someone like me who does. No, come on. That's the point Jesus is making. Now, I want you to notice a few things about this. My kids are a blessing. You know, I was studying for this, and at the same time, I came across a new autobiography of George Mueller. And if you've never read about George Mueller's life, I highly encourage you to do so. But I came across this new one, and I started listening to it on Audible. And I listen to books. Reading hurts my head sometimes. But I was listening to this autobiography, and it was just talking about his prayer life, and it struck me. Do I pray believing? You know, it's an interesting thing. I went home, and I had been out doing a few things, and I came home, and I said, okay, everybody gather around the table. And we started to pray about something specific, and we wanted to see God work in an amazing way, and I wanted to make sure that it was something that was, this is not the normal, this is not something that happens on a regular basis. And as a matter of fact, it was really kind of out of the realm of logic to even request something like this. It was small, mind you. But I went to my kids and I was talking to them. My wife and I are sitting there around the table with our children, and I was explaining to them, and one of them asked the question, said, but what if this doesn't happen? What are we going to do? I said, we're not going to pray that way. So what we're asking for is something to benefit one of God's workers, something to benefit God's ministry, something to benefit God's purpose and his gospel and propagating the gospel out to the world. What we're asking for is not something on behalf of ourselves. What we are asking for is something for God and God alone. And I'm going to pray believing. The Bible says when you pray, pray believing. The Bible also says anything you ask in my name, I will do it. And therefore, when we come to him and we ask him and we go, well, he may not do it though. We're not praying believing. And we're not asking anything in his name in faith. And I remember my kids were sitting around the table, and as a father, I do it too. As a father, I'm thinking to myself, oh, Lord, I've really put everything out on the table. I've laid all the cards out, God. What's going to happen? And you want to talk about a stressful few moments. We get up from the table and everybody kind of goes their different directions. And I said, guys, I want you to continue praying. Continue praying. And I handed my phone to my wife, and I said, if anybody calls or anything, just, let the kids come up. I'm going up to pray. And I just buried my face into the feet of my Lord. I said, God, my kids need to see you. And God, it's something small. It's something insignificant. I understand that. But God, I want my kids to see you. I want my kids to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are real and that you answer prayer. I want them to believe that you can do the impossible, God. And within about 30 minutes of praying, my daughter comes up and says, Dad, somebody's texting you and we don't have the number. Well, I'll be dog, God does answer prayer. God does answer prayer. My kids got to see God work, got to see their faith in action. But I want you to understand something about that whole situation. Here's what we do. As the older we get, the more we allow the pressures of this world and what our experience has been. And we say, well, God may not do that. God probably won't do that. God might not get in. God might not. And we excuse everything away to where we no longer know how to pray in faith. But when I tell my four-year-old daughter, I need you to pray about something, she's got a boo-boo on her leg, and she folds her little hands and says, Dear Jesus, she prays believing. The rest of us go, well, he may do something, he may not. I tell you who I need to go to when I've got a prayer need. I need to go to my four-year-old daughter who believes that he's going to do something. The rest of us, we say, hey, would you pray about this or would you pray about that? And we say, oh, yeah, I'll pray about it. And then we walk on our merry way and we forget to pray about it. And then somebody comes along and says, oh, thank you for praying. And you're like, yeah, I was there for you. Lie through our teeth. I was, yeah. Matter of fact, I was just now praying about it. I'm glad you brought that up because I was curious. What's he talking about? You know, that's the way most of us go about life, isn't it? I watched my three kids as they've grown. I've watched them pray that God would heal their hurts. I've watched them pray that God would help them find something. I've watched them as they've asked the Lord to help them make a basket or whatever it was. Lord, I need your help to get this in because if I don't, Dad's going to win at horse. I've watched them as they got in a scrape and they pray, Jesus, heal me. And then the next morning when it's no longer a bad boo-boo, they go, Daddy, Jesus healed me. Why aren't we like that? Now think back for just a moment when I asked you who you would have had to pray. Why don't we think to go to the one who is humble enough to simply believe? So, Dad, you're telling me that if I pray and I ask God to do something, and it's something godly, it's something that he wants, it's something for it, you're telling me that he'll answer? Uh-huh. Really? Yeah. Wow, I'm going to go pray then. I'm going to go talk to him. I believe. The rest of us, but you got to understand this and you got to take this into account. I mean, come on, let's just think about this for a minute. The problem is that we do not take God at his word. But let's get it down. Right here, he says, except ye be converted and become as little children. Unless you become as a little child. Now, I want you to understand something. Jesus is putting some serious emphasis on this statement. You've heard of double negatives, and I may have brought this up in the past. I believe I have. But double negatives, in English, we say, well, double negatives are wrong. We say things like, I don't got no, you know? And we're like, where'd you grow up? What kind of language is that? You know, I grew up in the hills of West Virginia. I don't got no education. You know, don't got no. All right, that's a double negative. I don't and no. Don't and no. Two negatives. And you don't put those together in English, right? It's like, no, I do not have any or I have no. Okay, we don't put the two together. But in Greek, you can't. As a matter of fact, if you do it in the Greek language, it is adding emphasis. And so when Jesus says, except you be converted as a little child and converted and become as a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. What he's saying is you cannot, no way possible, end of the story, ain't going to happen, forget about it, not going. It's not just a, well, you know, you need to become as a little child and you're going to get in or you're not going to get in. No, he says, puts emphasis on the statement, hey, listen, you're not getting there. Don't miss the importance of that statement. Don't miss the severity in that. Because what we do, the older we get, the more educated we become, the more we seem to think that we have a better grasp on things, we start to say things like, well, you know, I know a little bit more today than I did yesterday. You know, kids, they believe anything, but, you know, I've got a little bit more knowledge than that. And it's, hey, listen to me. Either we believe that this is the word of God or we don't. End of statement. Either we believe that God cannot lie, and when God says he's going to do something or he wants us to do something and he's going to do this or he's going to do that, either we believe that God's word is true or let's close the thing, lock the doors, and no sense coming back. Why would I, let's take some serious logical thinking here. Why would a person come to a place to worship a person they don't believe in, sing praises they don't believe, give finances to something, to a work that they don't agree with? Why would we do that? Let's just be honest for a minute. If God's word is not true and we can't take God at his word, what's the point? Let's just go on out into the world, live however we want to live, and forget about it. But I believe that this word is true. Every part of it, from the beginning of Genesis, yes, I said from the beginning of Genesis to the end of the book of Revelation, I believe the whole thing is God-breathed, is true. Children believe that. That's right. At least I can get an amen out of somebody around this place. Some of y'all sitting there just, you know, just falling asleep. But listen, Jesus is saying you will not get into the kingdom of heaven unless you come as a little child. Learn from the simplicity, though. Now, understand something. We can go into this chapter, into Matthew chapter number 18, and we can start going through all the deep theology, and we can start digging in. Okay, what does this word mean? What does that word mean? What does this, is this saying? What is that saying? You know, we can start going through all of that here, some pretty deep theology. However, today, can we just simply let Jesus talk for a minute? Just simply let his word tell us what it is that he wants us to know and what it is that he wants us to do. Listen, I was a children's pastor for 8 years before I came here. And I'm going to be very honest with you. That was my first, quote unquote, position in ministry. That was my first time in a pastorate situation of any sort. And when I first got into children's ministry, here's what I believed. I believed, okay, I've got to have things going on all the time to make sure that there's something for the kids to do while the parents are in church. No. After about my first 6 years, I started to figure out, man, kids are pretty cool, and they can learn a whole lot more than those gas bags up in church. And so then my mentality became this. I'm going to pastor these children while the senior pastor pastors the parents. Still wrong, though. I'm starting to get a little bit more of an understanding about it here. My responsibility is to help you pastor your family. And people are like, well, what are you going to do to help spiritually feed my children? Ain't my job to spiritually feed your children. It is your job to spiritually feed your children. Last time I read the Bible, it didn't say pastors feed the other people's kids. It said, for you, fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Since you're one flesh, mothers, that doesn't mean you get to abdicate. Oh, dad's the only one that's got to do it. I can go watch TV. Not one flesh, so guess what? Fathers, provoke not your children. Guess what? Mothers, don't do it either. We need to get an understanding of what is supposed to be happening. It is of utmost importance that we get this right. I've seen churches where they will not allow a child to go forward during the altar call. Listen, my dad being in the Gideons for as long as he has, I have gone and traveled to church after church after church after church after church growing up with him because he was always going to these different churches preaching. And I can tell you from experience of places he's been in where he gave an altar call at the end of the message and people stopped him because they were afraid kids might go forward. Except you be converted and become as a little child. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You remember what Jesus said about all this. I want you to look over one chapter. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And I want you to see what happened here. Look at verse 13 with me. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Get what just took place. This is not weeks later. Okay, this is Jesus had just told him back here in Matthew 18. He just told him how important kids are. And then over here in Matthew 19, I done forgot all about it. Keep the kids away. This is what's so wonderful. I love, people may ask me sometimes, why do you enjoy family service so much? Because I love to see kids worshiping next to their parents. I want to see the parents sitting there looking ahead, reading in their Bible. I want the kids to look over, and then I want the kids to go home and hold their parents accountable. Hey, Dad, you remember when Pastor said this and he was reading from the Bible? And I want Dad to have that sense of, who are you to, don't use God's word, We need it. Sitting there with the channel changer in my hand, and my kids like, hey, Dad, can we go read the Bible? All right, I got two options here. Let my kid know that what I'm doing is more important than God's word. Or hit the button. Come on, we got TiVo and everything else out today. You tell me we can't wait? 90% of the people have Netflix and Hulu and Prime and this, that, and the other. All they got to do is hit the pause button and come back to it. I haven't watched actual antenna TV or cable TV in so long. I don't even remember what channels there are. We stream everything. Pause. Yeah, we can read the Bible, but no, what do? No, son, I'm busy right now. We even dress it up a little bit spiritually. Yeah, I love to listen to books. I love to listen to preaching. So maybe it's something like, hey, Dad, can we listen to some of the Bible on the way home? Son, I'm in the middle of listening to an autobiography about one of Jesus's followers. Come on, we choose that over the word of God? You know, so many people are so quick to jump to some Christian religious book, and they have not cracked the spine of their Bible since Sunday, and some even longer than that. Oh, but I read everything C.S. Lewis wrote. You read anything Jesus wrote? Oh, I read everything John MacArthur comes out with. Yeah, when's the last time you read a writing by the Apostle Paul? That was counted worthy enough to be added to the canon. I don't think John MacArthur's in the canon, is he? See, we jump all over the craziest stuff. We need to learn to simply listen. Our kids go, they come home all the time. They've learned something in Sunday school or at church, and they ask, Dad, why don't we? Yeah, I know, I just preached it. I'm a failure too. Listen, don't be like the disciples hearing God's word and just putting it off. You know, in Mark's account of that of this passage where the disciples were shooing the children away, the Greek word is used that where we get, it's the Greek word agoneketo. It's where we get our agoneketo. It's where we get our English word aggravated. The Bible says that Jesus became indignant. Seriously? You want to send the kids away? I love having kids in the church. Listen, I know kids can be noisy. I'm a dad. I know that, and that's okay. Focus. He's saying, unless we become as little children and humble ourselves to that point, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But understand that there's a lot more teaching about having kids in the worship than you may realize. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43, the children were present at the worship and praises. Psalm chapter 8, the children are involved. It actually says infants, the little babies, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast anointed and praise. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, talks about Titus, that from a child you've been taught the scriptures. Matthew 21, verse 15 and 16, Jesus refers back to Psalm chapter 8 and quotes this quite often, psalm, all through the Bible. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6 quotes it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15, 27. 1 Corinthians 1, 27. I often wonder if the Proverbs 22, 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, is not diminished by my stupidity. But look back here, Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, and we're going to wrap up with this thought. Matthew 18, verse 6, look at this. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. This shall offend means to cause to stumble or to give occasion to fall, either in faith or in practice. This is done by evil examples. That's how this is done. So examine this for a minute. Like I said, we can spend a lot of time examining the specifics of the passage, but let's just look at what Jesus said. Notice what he does. When he's asked who's the greatest, he points to a child. And then he says, woe to anyone who would cause these little kids to stumble. Do you know what that means? As my children grow and they become more and more responsible for themselves, the influence that I have had can cause my child to decide, I'm not going to continue to give to the Lord's work because my dad told me that I needed to save that money for a rainy day. I'm not going to go to church as often as I probably should because my dad told me you don't have to go to church to be a follower of God. You can do that anywhere. That's not the point of church. I'm not going to live a righteous life because my dad says God looks at the heart and God knows that in my heart I love him. I just don't outwardly obey him. What kind of dad teaches that? But I've heard it. I've heard it. My dad was all right. My dad did everything that you said we shouldn't do. He did it all. And he was okay. So I can do the same and still be okay. Woe unto the person who causes one of these little ones that believe in me to stumble. It would be better for someone to tie a massive millstone around their neck and throw them into the water and let them be drowned than for them to be guilty of teaching these kids wrongly. Jesus is using pretty strong words here. Oh, come on, Pastor, don't be. I'm telling you what the Bible says. If it was me, I'd probably try to make you feel a little bit better, because I know how I feel when I hear this. I'm like, well, I'm messing up. Let's get it right. Let's not cause offense. You know, when we say things like, well, they don't have the bills that I have. They don't have the responsibilities that I have. They don't have the situations that I have. No, they don't. And I'm going to tell you the honest truth. It doesn't matter that they don't have the bills that you have or the responsibilities that you have, because God's word said to do it. They want to do it. Who are you and I to stop them from doing it? So when our kids go and they, you know, they've heard about somebody that is going off into the mission field, and God stirs in their little heart and they want to go home and empty their piggy bank, who am I to stop them? So they can buy themselves another video game. They hear God's word and they accept it. Let's close this thing, because I'm really getting convicted up here. We can be the worst influence or we can be the best. And you know what the sad thing is? I find that when my kids are more spiritual than I am, I become defensive. And I try to train them to do what I accept. And I try to correct them from what God's word actually says to, well, let me put another spin on it. Let me explain. You see, when we tell our kids that something is important and we encourage them to make themselves more important than that, here's what we're doing. We're actually encouraging them toward idolatry. You see, James chapter 4, verse 17 says, if you know to do right and you do it not, it's sin. Wise King Solomon wrote in Proverbs, withhold not good from them when it is due, to whom it is due, when it is within thine power to do it. Listen, rather than teaching the kids to live like we do, perhaps we should try teaching them to give to the Lord and then watch them do it. Perhaps we should try to teach them to do things for the Lord and watch them go find something to do for the Lord. Perhaps even if we think it's just a little bit overboard and it takes me away from the TV for just a little bit longer, but my kid says, hey, I want to go do this and I want to go serve the Lord this way, but I want to sit and I want to watch TV. I really just want to watch TV. Perhaps I need to get off my lazy backside and listen to my child who wants to serve the Lord, as opposed to me telling them, no, you don't need to do that. You see, the question that we need to ask ourselves is, are we encouraging our children toward worship, or are we encouraging them to become more self-centered? Are we encouraging our children to submit to Him? Or are we encouraging lukewarmness? And then last, are we encouraging children to present themselves as a living sacrifice? Or are we encouraging our children to put themselves first? Listen. Usually on a message something like this, we go home and we want to dissect it. Happens all the time. I'm just as guilty of it as the next person. I take and I go and I say, is that really what God's word is saying? Let me tell you something. Yes, that's what God's word is saying. Go home, search it out, figure it out yourselves, and you're going to be hit like a glass of cold water in the face just like I am. Let the voice of your child encourage you towards surrender. Let the voice, when we do these kind of things and our kids will go home inevitably. Somebody's kids today will say, Dad, can we do devotions tonight when you're tired? And you just really want to watch the ball game. Dad, Mom, can we pray? You just don't want. You can pray. You can go to your room. You can tuck yourself in. You can pray. Dad, Mom, can we give some money to the missionaries? Well, we've already tithed this week. Yeah, but Mom, Dad, can we? Inevitably, it's going to happen. And when our children present themselves as more spiritual than their pastor father, I've got two options. I listen, and I let it encourage me to be spiritual. Or I stifle it and cause them to later on offend. I tell them it's not important, and I teach them to live the way I do. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that needed to hear this today. But I hope we can take God's word at face value. And I hope we can apply it and quit looking for excuse after excuse after excuse to not surrender to Him. These children, look around the auditorium. Just look around for a moment. We have kids in here, and it's awesome. And they are looking to you, adults. They are watching you to see how they are to live their life. What examples are we being?